For our reflection on today's readings, we welcome a new contributor to our worship this week, Robin Lockwood, who is a local funeral celebrant from Woodseats, Sheffield. Hello, my name is Robin Lockwood, and may I take this opportunity to thank you for inviting me to address your Christian community at St. Andrew's on this first Sunday of Advent. I am extremely pleased and encouraged that your leadership are doing their utmost to reach out and provide services online during these difficult times. May God pour out His Spirit and grace on you, your families, and the wider community through these services, and bless you all in your commitment to His service. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. No eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for Him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. One of today's readings looks back towards the exciting time of creation, whilst another looks forward to the end of time, which looks even more exciting. And where do we fit in all of this? We, who are caught up in this cosmic upheaval somewhere in between. We who stand once again at the beginning of a new Christian year. God, the supreme encourager, is urging us to learn from the past and to anticipate a thrilling future, whilst, in the meantime, striving to do what is right, not merely out of a sense of duty, still less grudgingly, but with gladness. There has been upheaval on a cosmic scale, and today there are still little earthquakes, little meteorites, little disturbances, a foretaste of things to come. The end is not here yet, although at this moment it feels a bit like it could be. COVID-19 has stopped the world in its tracks. We have been denied valued and intimate contact with our loved ones. Many people have lost their livelihoods. Governments have found it difficult to know exactly which path to follow in order to manage the pandemic most effectively. And worst of all, friends and loved ones all over the world have been very poorly, whilst already over a million have tragically died. But we, through all this, are to keep steady for Christ, with our mind set firmly on His great commission, and His plan for His creation. If we accomplish the work we have envisaged, all well and good. Should we be called home, if the end comes before we have completed all the tasks we want to, well, we simply shall not need to do them. We are still in November, the month during which, for a variety of reasons, we have already remembered the saints in glory, the faithful departed, and all those who have fallen in war. So now, as the month nears its close, what better a way could there be than to begin this new liturgical year by remembering God gladly, celebrating all the ways in which He deals with humanity? We could begin by counting our blessings. We may run out of time before we come to an end of them, but that's no reason not to begin the exercise. For all of us, there will be things for which we find it hard to give thanks. Yet even in these desperately sad and tragic times, when God may seem to be absent, we know He is always close by, and rejoice in His presence. One day we may get to know the how, the why and the wherefore, perhaps by then it will no longer matter. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul's instruction to give thanks to God the Father at all times, and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, is pretty all-embracing. Frankly, it would be difficult for us to misunderstand Paul's command. God works for those who wait for him, says Isaiah, in verse 4 of today's reading from the Old Testament. Advent is surely a time of waiting, but are we going to leave all the work to God? As ever, God's invitation, "Come now, let us argue it out," found at verse 18 of the first chapter of Isaiah, is again calling out to us this Adventide. Can we answer the divine summons? Can we draw aside from the oh-so-busy run-up to Christmas and get serious with our Lord, even for a moment? What is he really expecting of us, this Advent Sunday? An hour of worship. A few minutes of prayer. A brief respite from all the secular business. Come now, let's get together and talk this thing through. God is saying, we are approaching the celebration of the greatest birth of all time, when God played his part so mightily, so convincingly, so lovingly. Come now, what are we going to do about it? Paul, in today's epistle, helps us to focus on one important aspect of our faith, spiritual gifts. As he says in the 7th verse, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. How are we using the gifts God has given us? Have we let any go through neglect? Are we firing on more spiritual cylinders than we were on Advent Sunday a year ago? Can we even remember our spiritual state this time last year, what with all that has been going on around us recently? Well, God has given us memory recall, if we will only try to use it. God is faithful, as Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 9. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. That means he is still in the business of sharing out his gifts, an act which doesn't impoverish him one iota, but which enriches us beyond our imagination. Are we giving the people around us, at work, at home, and at church, cause to bless God for our spiritual gifts? Or vice versa? Not only the high-profile gifts, preaching, teaching, healing, prophesying, but also the gifts of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, those that should be the hallmarks of a practicing Christian. These qualities form the precious bastion that exists between us and the advances of selfish and self-serving behavior. If that were not the case, then Christmas would become for us just any other holiday. But we recognize its true significance as we prepare to welcome the Christ child as he enters our world with wondrous majesty and divine humility. As it is also Caledonian Sunday today, let me say a little about Saint Andrew for our shared encouragement. St. John's Gospel has Andrew as the first of the 12 to hear the call of Jesus, and to follow him. And since he went immediately to find his brother Simon Peter, and bring him to Jesus, we can see also in Andrew the first Christian missionary. He became one of the inner circle, together with Peter, James, and John. At the feeding of the 5,000, it was Andrew who displayed enough faith to present to Jesus the boy with his little bag of fish and bread, even though he wondered how such a small amount of food could satisfy such a large crowd of hungry people. Significantly, Andrew was among those present when the Holy Spirit descended at Pentecost, although our biblical accounts from then onwards appear to fall silent about him. According to tradition, however, he went to Scythia with the gospel, and from there onward to Greece and Byzantium. During or around AD 60, he is said to have been crucified on an X-shaped cross at Patras, in Achaia. After this, it is believed that Andrew's relics were brought to Scotland during the 8th century, soon after which the country adopted him as its patron saint. Throughout the years of Jesus' ministry, Andrew had been quietly learning from the Master, so that when the time came for him to launch out on his own, he not only had plenty of teaching stashed away in his memory, but he also knew, and this would have bolstered his confidence even more, that the Holy Spirit given at Pentecost was forever thereafter a part of him, reminding him of any teachings he might have otherwise forgotten. John in verse 26 of chapter 14 declares that the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and will remind you of everything I have said to you. If we also could remember this, and pray the Spirit into action, rather than thrashing about trying to do everything by ourselves, we should not only be honoring the gift, but also the giver. So far as we know, Andrew did not return to his Galilean home once the missionary zeal got full hold of him. There have been others who, like Andrew, have left home and country for the sake of the gospel. William Tyndale, for example, fled to the continent where he suffered even further persecution. On this festival of Saint Andrew, can we, indeed dare we, ask God to make our own path clear? For it is possible that he would like us, too, to help in getting the gospel message rolled out further. For my sake and the gospel's go and tell redemption's story, his herald's answer, be it so, and thine, Lord, all the glory. They preach his birth, his life, his cross, the love of his atonement, for whom they count the world but loss, his Easter, his enthronement. We continue our worship with the complete version of the hymn quoted at the end of our reflection, For My Sake, and the Gospels, Go, sung to the tune of Bishop Garth, by Sir Arthur Sullivan.